ABC National News with Peter Wilson. The Western Australian Police Service has admitted that it was wrong to arrest a 16-year-old boy for stealing 40 cents from a telephone box. The boy was held in custody for 24 hours after he was caught in December using a piece of wire to steal money for a train fare. When an adult couldn't be contacted to pick him up from police headquarters, he was taken to the Western Australian Juvenile Remand Centre. The state's Deputy Police Commissioner, Bruce Brennan, has conceded that a mistake was made. The human rights advocate, Sir Ronald Wilson, has met the United Nations Secretary-General, Kofi Annan, in Canberra, only briefly mentioning the issue of mandatory sentencing. Sir Ronald, who headed an inquiry into the Aboriginal Stolen Generations, has missed Mr. Annan in his capacity as the President of the Council for Overseas Aid. He says that the issue of mandatory sentencing was raised in passing, as the role of aid agencies in East Timor was the main reason for the meeting.
There were more pressing concerns for the people of East Timor, our aid agencies. This was a deputation basically concerned with the role of Australia's overseas aid agencies in the international perspective. The Secretary-General gives us that perspective. The immediate focus for many Australian aid agencies is to meet the needs of the East Timorese people.
The Prime Minister has refused to meet a group of sacked meat workers who are owed more than $500,000 in entitlements. Anne Barker reports that the workers have staged a protest outside a federal cabinet meeting at Nara in New South Wales.
Workers from Parish Meats near Wollongong demanded a meeting with the Prime Minister as he entered a cabinet meeting at the Nara Council offices. The Illawarra Council of Trade Union says 120 workers lost their jobs last August but received only 30% of their entitlements. One worker, Tony Dick, who's owed $14,000, says the Prime Minister refused to meet them and Workplace Relations Minister Peter Reith could barely spare 3 minutes.
What's the interest? Policy's made and that's it. Bad luck.
Several cabinet ministers were showered with tampons as they entered the meeting by anti-GST protesters wearing red-stained underwear. Anne Barker, Nowra.
The Prime Minister, John Howard, says that the opposition leader, Kim Beazley, is weak for refusing to give details of his tax policy. But as Lyndall Curtis reports, Mr. Beazley says that the government is hiding from its own problems with the GST.
Kim Beazley, under pressure to release the detail of how a Labor government would fund a rollback of the GST, is getting little support for his plans from the Democrats' leader, Meg Lees.
Some of it will set up an absolute administrative nightmare.
The Prime Minister has turned his sights on Mr. Beazley's leadership.
I mean, it just is absolutely unacceptable, and he's displayed monumental weakness on this.
Mr. Beazley says Mr. Howard is trying to escape scrutiny.
Not now on the GST, but on incompetence in the administration of it and in its fine detail.
The opposition leader has been forced to reveal one bit of detail. Labor wouldn't scrap the private health insurance rebate to fund the GST promise. Mr. Beazley says axing the measure could cause health funds to collapse.
Floodwaters are still rising in parts of Queensland's central west, but it's hoped that river levels are near their peak. Emergency service volunteers at Winton have been monitoring the Western River and could consider further evacuations of people to higher ground. In the nearby town of Muttaburra, the Landsborough Creek is still rising and more rain is possible. Four countries seeking to extradite General Augusto Pinochet are due to present their responses in the coming day to a British medical report, stating that the former Chilean dictator is mentally unfit to stand trial. Doctors called on by a Spanish judge to study the report are said to have only minor disagreements with the British diagnosis. But in Paris, the families of French citizens who disappeared under the Pinochet regime have asked their government to call for a second health assessment. A lawyer for the families says it turns out that severe dementia was not proved by the British doctors. They've expressed doubts that the general's intellectual faculties are seriously impaired. The adventurer Dick Smith has taken off from the northern tip of New Zealand in a hot air balloon to try to fly to Australia against the prevailing winds. He hopes to use a high-pressure weather system over the Tasman Sea to drift northwest and find breezes that will carry him to Australia. The journey of more than 2,400 kilometres is expected to take at least 3 days. ABC National News.
And ABC Classic FM, 5 past midday the time. Charles Southwood with you for an afternoon where we'll be in the company of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra first, then Virginia Woolf. Our short story around about 1:45 will be The Symbol. After that, Joshua Bell at 2 with a couple of works, one of them the Violin Concerto of William Walton. And then it's the Chamber Orchestra of Europe from 3, starting off with Dvorak's wonderful D minor serenade for winds and some low strings as well. Michael Duth will be the violinist in Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante, along with Carolyn Henbest playing viola. That's the second work in our SSO programme, which begins with The Clock, Symphony No. 101 in D by Haydn. Marcello Viotti is conducting.